So what does it take to run a successful petition drive and get a question on the ballot? We have a listener named Tim who wrote us with several questions about the petition process that we thought were worth asking someone with the answers. As it turns out, we know a guy. Mark Brewer is an attorney with Goodman Acker, and he's the former head of the Michigan Democratic Party. He's currently working on the Adopt and Amend lawsuit before the Michigan Supreme Court that deals with how lawmakers are able to tackle ballot questions. Mark Brewer, welcome.
Thank you.
How many ballot initiatives have you been involved with?
Oh, I've probably lost count by now. I started doing ballot question work in this state in the mid-1980s. I've done them at the municipal level, the county level, and the state level.
What's the one that or two that stand out to you?
Boy, there have been so many interesting ones. I was involved early on and helped pass the Macomb County Charter. I live in Macomb County. And the effort to do that started back in the 80s. That was one of my first petition drives.
Did you have any that were really difficult to navigate because of what was going on at the time?
Well, there's always a lot of pressure out there. There are people that don't want you to do the ballot proposal, right? And of course, you've got opponents. And in many of these cases, the opponents challenge every signature, and you get into lengthy court proceedings. One of the proposals last year, we were challenged in court by our opponents, and it ultimately took an order of the Michigan Court of Appeals to say, yes, there's enough signatures here. So again, you expect that in every situation. And you know, if it's not quite as divisive and as argumentative, that's great, but you expect the worst.
So let me get to Tim's questions here. The first one is, under what circumstances do ballot initiatives need to be constitutional amendments?
Well, that's really up to the people who circulate the petition. That's their choice. We have three types of petitions in Michigan. A petition for a constitutional amendment, which has actually been part of our Constitution for over a century. The voters can also initiate a statutory law. And finally, they can also do a referendum, which is an up or down vote on a law that the legislature passes.
So are different numbers of signatures required for each of those kinds of ballot initiatives?
Yes, yes. And these are all reflected in our state constitution. In order to do a referendum on a law that the legislature has already passed, you must gather the signatures from 5% of the voters in the last gubernatorial election. So what they do is they total up all those votes, and 5% of that number is the minimum necessary. For an initiative, it's 8%. Of that number, and for a constitutional amendment, it's 10%.
Okay, that makes sense. Becoming more increasingly harder to get on the ballot also means that once it's on the Constitution, it's increasingly hard to get off, right?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
What are the restrictions on when signatures can and must be collected?
Well, there's several parameters here. At the front end, if you're going to do a petition drive in this state, you need to form what's called a ballot question committee and report all the money you've raised and spent. So that's kind of an initial step. Then the law requires that your petition be filed with the state, and they put it on the state website so everybody knows that these are the petitions that are circulating. There's an optional process to get that petition approved as to form, which folks needn't use if they don't want to. But then once you file it with the state, you're free to circulate. You're free to circulate. The filing deadlines are generally in the spring to early summer of the election year, so you can circulate even in the off year. However, there's an important restriction that only the signatures gathered in the 180 days before you filed count. So you control that. But if you choose to file in, say, June 1, the state's only going to count the signatures going back 180 days from June 1.
Right. Gotcha. So under what circumstances are paid staff allowed to collect signatures, or for that matter, children or non-residents?
Different categories there. There are no restrictions on paid circulation, even though the legislature last winter passed a law that requires paid circulators to register with the state and imposes some pretty onerous requirements on them. Those requirements are now subject to litigation, of which I'm a part, because the U.S. Supreme Court has said this is part of the right to petition, First Amendment. You can't impose onerous conditions on folks. Out of state, folks can circulate. Again, the courts have been very clear about that.
Let me just back up, because it's more common for paid circulators than unpaid, right? I mean, usually most of these ballot initiatives are.
That's true in Michigan, and true most states as well. I mean, these signature requirements and this 180-day requirement and Michigan's weather make it a challenge to gather the number of signatures. And generally as well, you don't just gather the minimum number of signatures because inevitably they're going to be bad signatures, right? There's going to be unregistered folks and other kinds of issues. So you generally gather what's called a cushion beyond that 5%, beyond that 8%. So it's not uncommon to hire folks to do this because it's not easy.
You started to tell us about non-residents.
Yes, non-residents are able to serve as circulators. There are a couple of special requirements on the petitions. They have to indicate that they're a non-resident and give an address where they can be located should there be the need for an investigation. But you do have to be 18 and above.
Oh, so if I've got a darling 8-year-old kid who just is charismatic as can be, I can't put him out there with a petition.
No. There's no reason they couldn't help you, but an adult has to do the circulating. And so those are the kinds of general requirements. You don't have to be a registered voter to circulate. But again, and on the form, the circulator gives an address so they can be located in case there are any questions or problems.
Now, this gets to current news. Under what circumstances can the legislature pass a ballot initiative and then amend it to minimize or overturn its effect?
Well, that is currently in front of the Michigan Supreme Court. We just got done with the argument yesterday.
Full disclosure, you're involved in that case.
I am. Yeah. I represent two petition drives, the minimum wage and paid sick time last year, which filed petitions. We were told we had enough signatures, and we did. And under Michigan's process, then, the legislature has an opportunity to do one of three things. This is exactly what says in the Constitution. They can reject it, in which case it goes to the ballot. They can enact it, in which case it becomes a law. Or they can reject it and offer an alternative, in which case the alternative and the original proposal go on the ballot for the voters to decide. What the Michigan legislature did last year for the first time in the century that we've had this right of stature initiative was they adopted those two proposals, and then they turned around in lame duck right after the election and amended them, essentially to gut them. That is now the subject of a lawsuit pending in the Michigan Supreme Court, our argument being that you can't do that, basically, that you've either got to let the people vote or you've got to adopt it. You can't adopt it and then take it apart.
Who can sign a ballot initiative petition? Only citizens, only registered voters, permanent legal residents?
You have to be a registered voter in Michigan, and that's part of the process. Well, when the signatures are filed, they are checked, and the state and local authorities would use what's called the registered voter file of the state to check and see that the person who signed is a registered voter.
Well, thanks for coming in and answering Tim's questions.
That was great. Enjoyed it very much.
Mark Brewer is an attorney with Goodman Acker.